Last December, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith released a document on the pastoral meaning of blessings called Fiducia Supplicans. Without getting too much into the weeds, because the document did cause a lot of confusion and distress, here's what I think matters to us. God blesses us. It's one of the first things he does in Scripture. Blessing is God's posture towards all of humanity. Pope Francis and Fiducia Supplicans reminds us that we don't have to be perfect for God to want to bless us. God's blessing is a gift. God wants to bless us. By blessing us, God wants to make his image shine in us so that we may more closely resemble him. And of course, God blesses everyone, regardless of culture, religion, sexual orientation, or past actions or behavior. This does not mean that God condones everything that we do. God does not approve sin, but his arms are always extended to bless the sinner so that his grace can move us forward on the path of salvation. And so the document reminds us that when we ask for a blessing, it should be because we want to live better, we want to be better. And we ask the church's blessing because the church is the minister in the service of God's blessing in the life of the world. So the question is not, does God want to bless us? But rather, how do I receive God's blessing in my life? I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is the Salt and Light Hour. Hello and welcome to another all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Danny Torquia. Danny, it's good to see you.
It's always good to be with you.
Yes, happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
Indeed. Is that how you say it? Indeed, well, he is risen.
We debated
truly
at
his
home.
Reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I like indeed, and the kids know that most priests that we hear truly. Say truly.
But see, I was expecting you to come up and say it like in Greek or something, don't you know? Because you're Byzantine. You're kind of like a Byzantine kind of guy.
Well, I'm Roman Catholic, but I do love, I know it's Christos Anestis, but I like,
I don't know it.
Arabic is El Mesih Kam Hakkan Kam. And the kids love that.
El Mesih Kam Hakkan Kam. Okay,
I like it. Gorgeous?
Yeah, it is. Okay, I like that. I like that. Okay, so Danny, last week we ended up airing a special episode dedicated to questions about artificial intelligence, because it turned out that with Mark Matthews, who does the little segment on what's good in Hollywood once a month, every once in a while he works in technology, and he's fascinated with questions about artificial intelligence, and we had enough content to actually fill a whole hour.
Wow.
So I just did a compilation of conversations on artificial intelligence that we've been having since like 2019. But what's interesting is that was enough to get Billy. So we're going to be joined by Billy today. And Billy's question in Church for Dummies, guess what? Has to do with artificial intelligence.
Of course. Very hot topic.
Very hot topic. So Billy will be joining us in about 5 minutes today, Church for Dummies. And he has a question about artificial intelligence. I don't know if he was influenced by last week's show, but let's just say that he was. In about 5 minutes, Church for Dummies, after our first song. And then you, Danny, will be here. You'll be joined by your wife, Antonia.
Yes.
To continue with Rearing Rebels. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, as we are going to talk about how the spirit, how we convey our faith, and the best practices and the benefits and the beauty of living in the faith through spiritual works of mercy.
Okay.
As a family.
Okay, good. Yeah, so people that are hearing this for the first time, Rearing Rebels is a segment that Danny does with his wife, Antonia. And it's all about how they're trying to live out that domestic church at home and teach their kids how to be a little, rebels, countercultural with whatever the rest of the culture is telling them.
Well, I'm a marketing guy and a PR person. So I know that if you say, rebel or rebel against, it's got an attraction for you, unfortunately,
yes.
Especially men. Young men,
yes,
who have the testosterone and the desire to be some kind of have a mission in life.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the church gives us all the tools, right? All the tools.
It's beautiful. Perfect.
Have a yeah, to be a solid soldier for Christ.
Yeah, soldiers for Christ. There you go. So
Amen.
that's Rearing Rebels in the Domestic Church. In about 15 minutes or so, Danny will be joined by Antonia Torquia. And then Danny, I know that you probably have, I don't know if you do it or you've thought about it, but the integration between movement, our body, like fitness, and prayer.
Oh yes. Oh my goodness. I know that totally. Yeah. Tell me more.
Okay,
What are
okay,
we talking
okay.
about today?
So there's a an organization, a ministry called Soul Core, like soul, your soul, and core as in the core of the body. Soul Core, it's a fitness apostolate that focuses on the integration of soul and body, fitness and prayer. So we're going to be speaking with one of their co-founders today to learn about a little more about what they do. But especially during May, they have a campaign. It's the annual Movement for Mary Challenge that they do, where they try to encourage the participants to do some sort of movement for 30 minutes every day and to pray at least a decade of the rosary while they're doing that.
Well,
So,
do you remember many years ago we were, I think we worked together with a gentleman who was doing a rosary with fitness, and he went into Salt and Light Studios.
Michael Carrera. Yes.
There you go. So you'll have to, I'll have to learn
Yes,
what's
yes.
he up
And
to. Yeah, tell me.
yeah, no, he's actually being ordained to the permanent diaconate in next month.
Oh, that's
Michael
wonderful.
Carrera. Yeah, that's a whole other story. And I'm sure we'll
Thank
invite
you.
Michael to be a guest on the show. And Michael does know about Soul Core. In fact, he would have told me about Soul Core a few years ago. So it
Amazing.
for people that are interested, even if you're not interested, but if you are intrigued by fitness and prayer and how that works together, stick around. And we're going to be speaking with Deanne Miller. She's one of the co-founders of Soul Core in about half an hour, and she'll tell us all about the Movement for Mary Challenge in about 25 minutes. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be reconnecting with a singer-songwriter from Winnipeg, Danielle Savard. She was in the show maybe about 3 years ago when we first met her, and she's been working on a new album, a new project. It's called Warfare. So it's all about spiritual warfare. Again, super interesting. So we're going to be talking to Danielle Savard about her music and her new project in about 40 minutes at the end of the show. So lots going on today, Danny.
It's okay to talk about terms related to war because we're talking about our God is love.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We can allow ourselves to talk about war, knowing it's all based on love as a
But
response.
it's spiritual warfare. So yeah, that's a reality. There's always we're all being attacked spiritually constantly. So spiritual warfare, but it's music also, and it's a beautiful, I mean, you'll hear some of the songs, but it's just a beautiful meditative invitation to for people to consider discernment and discernment of spirits.
Maybe your physical fitness people can help
Yeah.
us move to the music.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they can. I'm sure they can. Okay, so if people are not going to be around to listen to the whole show in one go right now, you can go to our website, slmedia.org, and listen to the Salt and Light Hour Catholic podcast right there, or you can subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour anywhere you get your podcast. So, Danny, let's start with a song. Here is Danielle Savard with Spiritual Warfare. Defender is the title of the song. Defender from her new album, Warfare, Volume 1.
You are my defender when I'm lost and broken. The battle is raging. You come to deliver and unbind me from my fears. Oh, you are my defender when I'm lost and broken. The battle is raging. You come to deliver and unbind me from my fears. When I feel defeat, surrounded by my enemies, when I can't see any hope of victory, when they're too strong for me, I hold to what I know. My fears. When
We're listening to Danielle Savard with Defender from her new album, Warfare, Volume 1. We're going to be speaking with Danielle Savard at the end of the program, so I hope that you can stick around for that. And now it's time for...
Church for Dummies!
With Billy Chan, who has a very good question. Now, last week we dedicated a whole special episode to questions about artificial intelligence with Mark Matthews, and now... And now you have this question, Billy.
Yes. Everyone is talking about AI nowadays.
Yes.
Even some country has taxi using AI doing self-drive now. So my question is, if the priest can be replaced by AI, can an AI robot do a mass for us? What do you think about this? Is it very tempting? You know, when you hear about that, wow, everything will be perfect in Mars.
Yeah. So for me, it's not tempting at all. And this is going to be the shortest segment we've ever going to do because the answer is no, no, and no, and no. Yeah. Okay. So that's all the time we have. Bye.
You did give us a good explanation. The reason is this: when priests did something wrong, we suffered. The parishioners suffered.
Yeah, it's
the
true.
Suffered.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
The church suffered.
So,
and we can definitely use AI robot to avoid everything that.
Yeah. So, first thing, all the sacraments have to be in person. Okay. So mm-hmm. I remember having conversations years ago, like, yeah. Can you do confession? Can I not do a confession via email?
Yeah.
And the answer is no, because it has to be in person. For that sacrament to be valid, it has to be in person. So even a video call, I think, is iffy. I don't know what canon lawyers would say about doing confession on a video call, because it has to be in person. The priest is in the persona Christi, in the person of Christ. He has to be present, okay? The word was made flesh. The word was not made, binary code. So there's something about the fleshness, the humanness, the body, okay? So can AI write a better sermon? Absolutely. Well, maybe. I think that it maybe can't, but in terms of content, it can. Can AI help us get good advice or good counseling or good pastoral care? Maybe, but it can't replace definitely the mass. So the words of consecration have to be spoken by a living human being mm-hmm. in person. Okay. So all the matter, the form of the sacraments, which is what makes them valid, have to be spoken by a human being, by a yes. person. Otherwise they're not going to be valid. I can hear people still asking, but why?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's because there's something about it. It has to be human beings. Jesus Christ was made a human being. So we have to be, it's got to be a real living person, body, you know, flesh and blood, and it's got to be in person. So even if you're watching mass on TV,
that's not
that mass is not valid. I mean, not for you, it isn't. You're just watching mass on TV. Now you can be excused from going to mass that day, but you didn't observe your obligation. Like, that mass is not valid. And you definitely cannot receive communion virtually. So
yes. I think this is a very interesting discussion here. The reason is I think human is still very special, and you know, in the world.
Absolutely. AI is never going to be able to replace the urgency of being a human being.
Do you think also there's a difference between the main difference between a robot and a human is the soul inside us?
That's a good, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't even cross my mind because I'm so thinking about, the word becoming flesh. But absolutely, absolutely, AI is never going to have a soul. And maybe that's what I meant by that urgency about life and death. Like we have a soul. Like we are built for eternity in a way that that robots are not.
So the soul is I always I you know when we pray, I think sometime when we pray, I have a feeling that my soul is actually outside of my body and actually connected to the saint or to God. And I think that's the most special and different between,
Yeah,
and maybe that's
absolutely.
why about the sacrament as well, because we need some kind of connection between us and God.
Yeah, and that communion with each other too. Like if the priest has to be rooted in a life of prayer, a spiritual life, the AI can't have that. And I think that that's what makes, and that's why I think what makes a good homily, actually, that the homily, AI can write a really good homily, but when I write a homily, my homily is really rooted in my prayer life and in the life that I live in my diaconal ministry with people who are marginalized and my family life. And I bring all that and in a way that artificial intelligence will never be able to.
This is very interesting. The reason is nowadays everywhere everything that we are talking about is about AI. It's about we are trying to replace human and we are trying to free up human to do something they like. This question coming up is because of, so the priest can do something else, something more
If they don't, yeah.
if they can do that. So my next question, if we I don't think we have time today, my next question will be, which part in the mass can be done using AI, using robot, using something else? I think you and I know the answer already, but I think we can talk about it later.
Yeah, picking up the collection. That's what the robot can do. That's a very, very, very good question. And I think it's important for us to know that flesh is important. God created matter. Human beings is important. Like we are valued. And to be present. I mean, we celebrate God's real presence in the Eucharist. So we can't replace presence by not being present with a machine. And I don't think that's ever gonna change. But good question. I'm very curious to know what listeners have to say about all of this.
He's right to us.
Yeah, write to us. You can always send me an email, Pedro at slmedia.org. You can find Billy online at Bijo Chan. Billy, thank you. Thank you so much. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Billy Chan, you can follow Billy and ask him questions on his social media at Bijo Chan. And if you want to listen to last week's special episode on conversations on artificial intelligence, you can go to our website, slmedia.org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Michael Talbot, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro. Remember, all things are possible with God.
You can watch Salt and Light TV online at slmedia.org and also on your Roku and Amazon Fire apps. Go to slmedia.org/plus to find out how to subscribe. And now it's time for Rearing Rebels Through Our Domestic Church with Danny and Antonia Torquia. Danny, Antonia, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour. Happy Easter.
Happy. Thank you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. So last time it was Lent and you were telling us, we were talking about corporal works of mercy and how you do that with the children. But I wanted to ask you first, because you said that you were taking the two boys out of school for a whole week to take them on a retreat when you came to Canada. How did that go?
It went really well. And it lends well for our topic today, which we're talking about spiritual works of mercy.
Okay.
So it's fantastic. The boys, as we prayed about it, were very excited to go, and they had a great time. They invited one of our old friends from where we used to live to join us. Someone who was around our block would come over, and we would pray with him because we knew he was Catholic. And so he also joined them at this camp. And, you know, that Friday when I went to pick them up, we're all worried. All of us parents are worried. How did it go? How did they do? We didn't even get to speak to them all week. But all three of them had a blast and are so excited to go back next year. They definitely want to go back, and really left on a spiritual high, which is amazing to see as a parent.
Wonderful.
So yeah,
wonderful. Okay, so that right there, I think there's a connection too, that you're talking about how you're teaching your kids, but you're also influencing their friends.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the spiritual works of mercy, which is Antonia's forte. I mean, but as a family, we welcome anybody into our home and pray with them, talk to them. And this young boy, at the end of his experience at the retreat, the friend of our kids, he got up in front of 75 or so other peers, and he spoke about how he witnessed, about how he loved coming into the home of his friends, because he got to see what Catholic life in action as a family is beyond church attendance, for example, at the high moments of the year. And so it's not so much that he flattered the kids in their home. For me, it's more that he had the courage to stand up in front of his peers and speak about a vulnerability, because he went through a difficult separation and divorce of his family, his parents.
Wow.
But then he spoke about the faith, and he was there at a retreat. And so I'm praying that the fruits of that retreat for this friend of our children are very long lasting. So, I mean, yeah, Pedro.
Okay, no, but what you're, and sorry, just to, and the connection with spiritual works of mercy is that you see that in having him come to your house, and even in the moments of prayer or just fellowship with him, that that is actually spiritual work of mercy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a professional, but in looking at what are the spiritual works of mercy, which I see when I go to confession or I see in churches, you have, you know, the works of mercy. You know, one of them is comforting the sorrowful. So we know that this boy and his dad and his mom went through a very difficult divorce, and so we were there to walk with all the members of the family, including the boy. So there were many moments over dinner, over prayers, over hanging out, that we comforted him in a loving way, not like just focusing on the divorce. And then there was also instructing others on the faith, because when he comes to our house and we're having dinner and we say grace, we actually then talk about the faith and talk about the difficulties of Catholic living. And we saw that left a mark in him. So that was one thing. But the other thing we see every day, I mean, we were talking, Antonia, my wife and I, about how do we live out the spiritual works of mercy? Well, every day we're working with our little daughter who's 9 now, and like we have to help her forgive injuries, because she comes home every day hurt by friends and classmates at school. She's very sensitive. So, you know, every day we find ourselves saying, well, let's pray for so and so.
Wonderful. That's fun.
Let's pray. Yeah.
No, good, because I was going to ask you, how else do you kind of live? I think the corporal works are very tangible, but so how else do you teach? So those are great examples, but are there other examples? I'm trying to think of what the spiritual works of mercy are really quickly in my head. But other examples of how you kind of teach your kids to live those spiritual works of mercy at home?
Well, Antonia, you want to talk? I know Antonia loves praying for those ancestors of ours, family members, and in general, souls in purgatory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely something, you know, and obviously our own spiritual upbringings and journeys impacts, you know, how we share with our children. But definitely remembering the anniversaries of family members who have passed away. You know, I have my mom calendar on the fridge. It has birthdays, but it also has the anniversaries of family members who have passed away, so that we can remember them on those anniversaries and pray for them on those anniversaries. Maybe come together and say a rosary together, especially for them, asking them to intercede for us. Like Danny said, praying for the souls in purgatory, always remembering, you know, those suffering, and that my Lord might have mercy on them. But I think Danny, you know, he keeps saying that I'm the one that's good at this, but I think Danny's really good at this too. Always, you know, when the kids do have friends over, he's not shy about talking about our faith. And obviously, with the way we decorate our house, or, you know, the things that we have around, the candles that we might have on, you know, it's visible, it's in front of people's faces. And so it lends itself to talking about the faith. and you know how we live it every day.
I can see Danny being the one wanting to praying for the dead in a lot.
When I lost, actually, a serious note, I lost my cousin at 31 years old suddenly. As ever since that day, I've been praying for a good death for others and for me. And now I'm 48, so it's good. The other thing is I like prayers. I like reading. I like finding well-articulated prayers in the office of the hours in the church, sure, in the magisterial teachings of the church, the catechism. And so I found a lot of good prayers for the deceased, and it's come in handy. And as a family, we pray those prayers that I didn't invent. I'm not that capable, but I've picked them up and we read them. And some people have even asked me for them and have used it for their own grieving processes or their own funeral. And I had the other day, last month, a relative from Montreal call me to say, "I'm going to my mom's funeral. I need your to pray with you before the actual, burial in the cemetery." And it was just the prayer that I picked up from the church's teach prayers on the departed.
And it's such a simple thing. Like I so here they are. So give correction to those who need it, admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive all injuries, and pray for the living and the dead. They're like super simple things that we're probably doing anyway all the time in terms of
I was going to
bearing.
say, being married, you bear wrongs
You bear wrongs patiently in your married life
patiently
all the time.
every moment of every.
Yeah,
I
forgiving
mean,
injuries count, but yeah, and not just praying for the dead, but praying for the living as well. I think you guys are doing a lot more, and I'm sure that our listeners are doing a lot more than they think they are, as they try to live those. Now, and I kind of like the fact that, not that I don't know if you intended to do this, but that we talked about corporal works during Lent, but then maybe Easter is a good time to focus more on the spiritual works. I'm not saying it has to be, but maybe that is a good kind of
Well, I'm sure I'll
discipline.
let I'm gonna the all year long I'll help Antonia bear wrongs patiently all year long. She's set for that.
You give her
And I think
opportunities.
that they truly go hand in hand. For the hands-on activities are important, and sometimes you feel the need to do those. But these spiritual works of mercy, it's beautiful to see the fruit of them, I find. Because they are opportunities to kind of reach out, in a spiritual heart-to-heart way, as opposed to like giving something to someone or doing an act for someone, right? So yeah,
And that beautiful fruit that you just shared about your son's friend at the
absolutely.
retreat, that's beautiful. That sometimes we'd never know what the results or the fruits of our prayer are. And like you said, they do go hand in hand. You feed the homeless and then you say a little prayer for them. Like we need to do both. Okay, this is really good. Thank you guys. Spiritual works of mercy as we rear rebels in our domestic church. Thank you, Danny and
Our
Antonia,
pleasure.
for and thank you to your boys for sharing, and for your daughter also for learning how to bear injury.
We'll pass the thanks along. Thank you, Deacon.
All right, take care.
You too.
Danny and Antonia Torquia, they're the parents of four children. Danny is the managing director of Torquia Communications. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Torquia, and you can learn more at dialogueandgrace.com. Coming up in our second half hour, a ministry that incorporates prayer and fitness. And we reconnect with singer-songwriter Danielle Savard. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome to the Salt and Light Hour, Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. Soul Corps is a Catholic fitness apostolate that focuses on the integration of soul and body. It was born out of a desire to nourish the body and the soul through prayer and fitness. Now, once a year during the month of May, they host their Movement for Mary Challenge that involves 30 minutes of movement and praying at least one decade of the rosary every day. And so, to tell us more, I am now joined by the co-founder of Soul Corps, Deanne Miller. Deanne, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to meet you.
Well, so good to meet you, Deacon Pedro. Thank you so much for having me here.
So I mean, I gave the basic definition, I guess, or explanation, but I don't know if people really understand what integrating soul, body, prayer, fitness. So what is soul core?
Sure, thank you for asking. And it is a little harder to understand that we always say the experience of soul core is
Yes.
where you really, really understand it. We pray a full rosary in every soul core experience while inviting you into various movements, functional movements, core strengthening, stretching through each of the prayers. And so integrating body and soul, we're created body and soul, and it's a way to glorify God in our bodies while also meditating on the life of Christ. And we pull out the virtues of each of the mysteries, and there's
Okay.
times of rest and reflection and scripture. So it is a workout of sorts. There's no fitness level required because every movement is simply an invitation to engage the body in prayer, just as we would in the Mass,
Okay,
right?
so
As
it's
we're
so okay, I'm glad you said workout. I didn't even think of that. So it's literally it's a workout, but you're praying as you do the movements.
That's right. The leader, the soul core leader, is guiding everyone through the prayers. The participants get to remain silent, which is an absolute gift. That sacred silence, really letting the prayers penetrate more deeply, and then moving as desired, as your body is able,
Okay.
and honoring your body. But you're invited into various movements.
So how does it work? Are these obviously in-person classes? Can people do it online? How does that work? Or is it a video?
All of the
All
above.
of the above.
All of the
Okay.
above. We have in-person classes. We have certified leaders around the globe and in-person
Oh.
classes. And then we also have an online studio for those who either just want access 24/7 or do not have access to in-person classes just yet. And then we have digital downloads that are available in our shop, all sorts of ways to experience it.
Okay, and I'm looking at your website right now. So yeah, so find a live class, become a leader. You also have parish and school programs. Totally cool. Okay, so all that information is on your website, soulcore.com. Soul as in the soul, SOUL, core as in the core of the body, I guess. People that know about fitness will know about strengthening their core, .com. Okay, so tell us about the movement, it's the Movement for Mary challenge for May. How does that work? What is that?
So this is an opportunity. We offer this every year, with a little bit of a twist each year, but always with the intent to honor Mary during the month of May. And so anyone who participates, it's a donation-based event, and all of the
Okay.
proceeds go to our nonprofit arm, Soul Corps Giving, to provide scholarships for those in financial need.
Okay.
But we as a if when you register, you commit to 30 minutes per day of movement, any type of movement. It doesn't have to be soul core specific, but any type of
Okay,
movement.
so you could go for a walk.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. 30 minutes of intentional movement and at least one praying one decade of the rosary every day. So what that does is it really helps cultivate a habit of intentional movement and stewardship of the body. Honoring Our Lady, you're praying at least one decade of the rosary, each day. And as many may or may not know, each mystery has virtue tied to, the mystery of and the life of Christ. So we encourage growth, asking for the grace to grow in the various virtues throughout the challenge. And this year we're doing an added benefit of different titles of Mary. So anyone who registers will receive each week daily Soul Corps Decade videos
Okay.
that will invite you into prayer on a specific mystery, virtue, will include scripture and movements, and then the title of Mary. So we're learning about all of her different titles. We're asking for the intercession of Mary through various titles. And so we're so excited about it. We've been wanting to do a Titles of Mary series for a long time. And so we're integrating it with this Movement
Okay,
for Mary
I love
challenge.
that. Okay, and so as soon as people register, they will receive, you said, daily emails so that they have everything that they need. They don't have to do the soul core fitness. They can go for a walk and pray a decade of the rosary or the full rosary, but then you're giving them the information that they need in terms of the virtues or any reflections that they want to pray with.
That's right. And it's not a daily, actually, it's not a daily email. Each week,
Oh, okay, each
they will
week.
receive an email that has daily decades that they can pray throughout the
Okay,
week
okay,
as
okay.
desired.
Okay, good. But you're giving them what they need. Okay, so here's a question. And I love the fact that you said that, especially for this challenge, they don't have to necessarily do the Soul Core program, the fitness, the movements. They can do any movement they want. It seems to me there's something very special about the fact that what you do, Soul Core, is specifically praying with Mary or praying the rosary. Because I suppose I could pray anything as long as I'm praying and do movement, and it's just as good, right?
Well, absolutely. Prayer is always good. And movement is always good.
What's the connection? I mean, I think I get it, but maybe what's the connection? Why Mary? Like, why the rosary?
Well, Our Lady asks us to pray the rosary, first of all. And the rosary is such a prayer of healing and virtue and peace. We're meditating on the Prince of Peace. So, of course, it cultivates that interior peace. Mm-hmm. And combining the movement, again, we're created body and soul, combining the movement with the prayers of the rosary, when movement seals knowledge, I'm going to say it in very basic terms because that's how I understand it. But whatever you're learning, whatever you're praying, when you're incorporating movement into that learning or that prayer, those prayers, they're more deeply rooted in the soul. And so when contemplating the life of Christ through each of the mysteries, asking for the grace to grow in the virtues. So let's say, for example, the resurrection, a virtue tied to that mystery is faith. Mm-hmm. You know, here we're in the Easter season. And so the movement combined with the prayer also helps you be less distracted to mm-hmm. other things. You're really focused. You're really intentional there. And you can't help, but we always say the rosary and the Soul Core rosary slowly, when you pray it, you're slowly and imperceptibly transformed more fully into the image and likeness of the heart and mind of Jesus and our Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, being a fit instrument, interior strength, we're not talking anything vanity or external, but that interior strength to be a fit instrument to do God's will, to do what he calls us to. So it's like a 10 for one, honestly.
I thank you. I think I get it. And I was going to ask you, but I don't think I need to anymore, that there is that the body helps us in our, like, engaging the body helps in the prayer, but the prayer also enhance the physical movement at the same time. Because we're not too, I'm not body and soul separate. I'm me together.
That's right. And even in scripture, Deacon, where in Proverbs, it says that God's word is health to one's whole body. Mm. So just even meditating, and we incorporate scripture. It is health to one's whole body. Then, you add the movement in and we're called to move. We're made to move. Jesus was a mover. Yes. Mary in the visitation, that girl was on the go.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, body. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And our bodies, as St. John Paul II says, that our body and only the body can make visible the invisible. So it's all meant to be an image of Christ, to glorify him.
Yes. Okay, good. Sold. Thank you so much. I hope that this is interesting for our listeners. And it's really easy. Just go to the website, soulcore.com. Deanne Miller, co-founder of Soul Core, thank you for doing what you do and for telling us about it today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. And it's just a joy to meet you.
Yes. God bless. So again, you can learn more about Soul Core and sign up for the Movement for Mary Challenge at their website, soulcore.com. And here now is our featured artist of the week, Danielle Savard, with Master of the Waves from her new album, Warfare, Volume 1.
In the storms of this life, I could run or I could hide. But when the waves come rushing in, will I stand or will I give in? Here's my life, I hold nothing back from you. Here's my life, I give everything to you. Master of the waves, by your hand I am saved. Instill in me the faith to step away. Thank you.
That was Danielle Savard with Master of the Waves from her new album, Warfare, Volume 1. We first met Danielle Savard in October 2021. Danielle is a classically trained musician from Winnipeg who, after an experience with Net Ministries, found her voice. She now considers herself a Christian artist, but is also part of the secular music scene where she is well known. When we spoke, Danielle told us that she was working on an album, and the first volume of this new project, titled Warfare, is now released. And so, to tell us more, I am now joined by Danielle Savard. Danielle, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
So last time we spoke, which seems like it was just last year, but it was like 3 years ago, you told me that you have no shortage of music, that you just have like music and singing, you know, and maybe they're not all recorded, but you have tons of. But I was curious to know how you decide which songs of all that, I guess, you know, all the wealth, the repertoire that you have, how do you decide when it becomes an album? Or did you set up to write specifically, I'm going to do an album, and then you write specific songs for that? Like, how did this one come about?
That's a great question. You know, it's interesting because, as I had mentioned last time, I was like, I have so many songs that I was like, you know, I have this album in my closet that's about like 36 songs from my life. And, you know, we'll see how many see the light of day. But and I just keep writing new ones as time goes on. But it's been interesting to see how this kind of came together. It was really providential because after I did those three singles, and the last one that I had released, Sacred Space, was just a bit delayed because of the pandemic. And then I had all this time to write. And after the third single, you know, I was in the studio with my producer and he was saying, you know what, Danielle, like, I think you're at the point where you need to show people a body of work, who you are as an artist, like showcase your soul through your music. And, you know, we've tried three singles and you have the content to do an album. And I guess I was kind of, you know, under the impression that, you know, not everyone was going for like full albums at this time, because it's kind of like we've kind of entered the single release era, and kind of like the one hit wonder kind of thing. But, you know, it was interesting kind of looking through the repertoire that I already had and the songs that I was currently writing during the pandemic, post doing the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And I realized that there was this overarching theme of spiritual warfare. Even songs from when I was back when I was 16, I wrote a song called Battle for My Soul. And then like, you know, it was just kind of like this long journey of the closer I got to Christ, the more the depth of music lyrics that came to me, and just like the spiritual warfare I experienced on different levels of just, you know, that's just part of our journey as a believer. The closer we get to God, the more the enemy's not going to like it. And it's like, okay, we have all the tools to combat in spiritual warfare. But I realized that a lot of my songs that I already had and the songs that I was currently writing were all in that same theme of spiritual warfare. And it felt right. It just felt so right that it was like, you know what, this is the project to share. This is my life's work. And it's currently what I am most focused on and passionate about. And it felt like the right time.
Yeah. So that's super interesting. Because of course, my next question was going to be why spiritual warfare. But you said something very interesting. So you just finished doing the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius. So that kind of also spiritual warfare. Tell me more about the spiritual warfare and why you feel that is, I mean, obviously you're writing about that, but I presume that in reflecting and praying about it, you're also discovering that this is sort of where you're at in your life right now. Or maybe this is, I mean, maybe a lot of us are, that's where a lot of us are in our lives all the time, but tell me more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had started the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius right before the pandemic hit, and it was it was God's
preparation. Yeah,
I know. So it was an 8-month program because, I mean,
yep,
Yeah, it's designed as a 33-day silent retreat, but there's different modifications of it. Like the lay person's version is
Yeah, the
annotation
annotation 19 that you do
19.
in the
Yes.
daily life. Yes.
Yes. So it's
Yes, it's
like
wonderful. I've done it. Yeah.
amazing, amazing. It was life-changing for me. It was like 8 months of praying 1 hour a day and seeing a spiritual director once a week. And I learned so much about just I entered that wanting tools for discernment, wanting to know how to hear God's voice. Is at the time I was faced with some big life decisions, and I was wanting to bring all of this just to God and seeing what his will for me truly was. And it was like, how do I hear his voice versus, other voices of just like anxiety or discouragement, or is this me, or is this God, or is this, so I really learned the tools of discernment. And through that, that experience and that journey where you kind of walked through the whole gospel story is whole life of Christ, it impacted me in an intimate way. And I realized that, you know what, we have everything inside of us that God has placed for us to like be able to hear his voice. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, they follow me. And being able to recognize that, really at the heart of it is that he speaks peace. And you can kind of filter that out from the other loud noises that are just voices that are, we're living in a time right now where there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of war, there's a lot of loud voices. And it's like, well, what, how do we hear God in the midst of everything going on in the world at large, war, politics, like even just our nation, our province, our family, our community, our own personal lives. And so, yeah, that kind of doing the Ignatian exercises gave me a lot of content for this album and experiencing really just how to pray through things and ask for graces. And a lot of those songs were just a lot. I always tell people, it was like my songs are an overflow of my prayer life. And sometimes they are prayers that get me through a season where it's like the second song in Warfare is Defender. And it's really just affirming, like, Lord, you are my defender when I'm lost and broken, when the battle is raging. You come to deliver and bind us from our fears. And so praying through the music is really been a theme throughout Warfare.
Yeah, we heard that song at the beginning of the show, Defender. It's interesting, and I guess it makes sense that you've really made a connection between the spiritual warfare and discernment. I mean, in Ignatius called, discernment of spirits, and I guess
Yes.
that is something that we should be doing all the time, and not just at times when we feel that we're being attacked. So I think that's so interesting. Would you say that then, because it's volume one, I presume that there's going to be volume two. I don't know if there's going to be other volumes, but would each volume have a particular slant in terms of a mini theme or something like that? Or why do multiple volumes?
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, I have had like I've had so many songs under the warfare theme, and it's kind of like I want each one to be almost like a journey in itself. So it's kind of like the volume one. It's like we start in the wilderness
Yeah.
and we kind of end we end all like on the fifth song called Don't Forget. It's all about like just kind of like that what God wants us to know is that like we're going to make it through whatever we're going through. He's with us, and it's all in the theme of consolation. And I wrote that fifth song when I was in a place of desolation, and it's really it's kind of like, okay, we start in the wilderness and we end where this of this message of God reminding us, like, don't forget all the things I've done for you, all the things I said I will do, like I will come through for you again. So volume two, actually, or I'm in the pre-production stage of that because trying to select the songs for kind of the next overarching theme, but yeah, that's still a bit to be determined, kind
Okay,
of
so it's a it
praying
you're
through
yeah, that's
it.
good. No, interesting.
It's exciting though.
And I have to apologize because we're kind of playing everything out of the, so we started with Defender and we're actually playing Wilderness at the end of the show. So maybe a
Okay.
little out of order, but
Oh,
is
that's okay.
it do you think that it's, I mean, that's the other thing about albums or EPs, that it's an experience. Would you encourage that people should listen to it together rather than just, I mean, they're not singles for a reason. So to start in the wilderness and kind of pray through it as they go, or maybe not in one sitting, but that's kind of the journey that you want your listeners to have.
You know what? That is a beautiful thing. I am honestly like it's kind of like these songs are, you think of the wilderness, like they're out in the wild and like the Lord can do whatever he wants with them.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes, I mean, sometimes it's one particular song that'll resonate with someone. And other
Yeah.
people like, oh, I want to go through that almost because I released these songs according to like the church calendar in that Lenten season. So
Okay.
the wilderness came out on Wilderness Weekend, first week
Yes,
of
first Sunday
Lent.
of Lent.
Yeah, so it's just like right when Jesus was driven out into the wilderness, tempted. And so it's kind of like we begin with that experience and then the journey continues. So I mean, I kind of yeah, I recommend people listening song one to song five, but also it's like if there's one that they hear first that resonates with them, then it's like that's
Yeah, stay with that and pray
fantastic.
with that. Yeah, of
Yes.
course. Okay, that's good. I'm very much looking forward to volume two. Thank you so much for working on this. I know you've been working on it for a long time, but it makes sense now after you've kind of told us the whole story about St. Ignatius and the exercises. And maybe it's a plug-in for listeners. If you are curious about the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, highly recommended and highly recommended to do them in the daily life throughout the 9 months or the year. Danielle, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for telling us all about it. Yeah, look forward to volume two so you can tell us more.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about Danielle Savard and her music and download the new album Warfare at her website, daniellesavard.com. You can also find her music wherever you stream music. And if you missed any part of our conversation or you want to listen to it again, just head on to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. Here now to take us out is that song that Danielle said we should have started with, Wilderness, from her album Warfare, Volume 1.
How hark among the trees, I feel the forest breeze surround me, and I can feel your peace, but still I hear you say. Your fire and stand your ground. Oh, watch, wait, be ready to seize the wilderness. Watch, wait, be ready. Hold your fire and stand your ground. Oh, watch, wait, be ready to seize the wilderness. I want you to take the listen when you speak, for you alone know the way. Watch, wait, be ready.
We're listening to Danielle Savard with Wilderness from her album Warfare, Volume 1, and that will take us to the end of the program. Remember that the best place to listen to our show is at our website, slmedia.org/podcast. But you can also listen to the Salt and Light Hour podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. And also on our website, slmedia.org, is also where you can watch Salt and Light Television. Go to slmedia.org/plus to find out how to subscribe. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be reconnecting with singers Jesse and Kathleen LeBlanc, and also Rebecca Roubillon, and we'll learn about a new pro-life video series for Gen Zs. So I hope that you can join us for those conversations. Write to me, Pedro at slmedia.org, and you can also find me, Deacon Pedro, on all your social media. Thank you for being with us today. Let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine and in Israel and Palestine and in so many places where there is conflict. And let's continue to pray for each other and take care of each other. May you have a blessed Easter season. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.